Welcome to Hope Is Here. We are continuing our conversation with Counselor Amanda Speaks, and we have been talking about dealing with grief and loss in our lives. And we've talked the first two programs not about the traditional things that you think of when you grieve and when you deal with a loss, such as the death of a loved one. There's a lot of areas of our life, such as job loss, maybe being diagnosed with cancer, a loss of a pet, obviously a loss of a marriage, just lots of things that happen in our life that we have losses that we really just kind of ignore and go on to the next thing. And doesn't mean that you have to stay there forever, but a lot of times we need to go back and visit and maybe deal with the wound in our life. And so if you missed those first two programs, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Check out those 14-minute programs that we did with Amanda. But today we are going to touch on the more traditional stages of grief and loss that people think about. And I've known these, but I learned something new when we were talking earlier in the first program, that the five stages of grief and loss, denial and isolation, anger, bargaining, depression, and then finally acceptance. I didn't realize this, Amanda, until talking with you before we went on there, that those stages don't necessarily occur in any specific order. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, exactly. A lot of people think that, you know, I have to go through these different things and this is set in stone and this is how it is. Grief is so unique to each person. But we do, when dealing with death and dying, we go through these stages. Depression may come first, and then anger. And then you're in denial. You know, with my brother, Baron, he was in Florida when it happened. And so there for a while, it was like denial, but sadness. And then I was angry for a few weeks. And then it...
You mean as a Christian, you can get angry?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I say I know a lot of people think that it is, you know, oh, you can't get angry. And, of course, it's how you, you know, exhibit that and do that. But at the same time, I mean, anger is emotion that God gave us.
Exactly. And it's how you handle it, too. And the thing with anger, I'm glad you pointed that out. There's always something underneath. It's secondary emotion. So there's hurt, there's betrayal, there's fear, there's embarrassment, there's different things. So really, I just wanted to throw that in real quick. When talking about anger, because people often mislabel it. They're like, well, I'm just angry. And I'm like, what are you actually feeling? Because in order to understand what's going on with you, you have to understand what you're actually feeling. But back to the five stages of grief and loss, you know, there's no time limit on them. You can be in one day, one the next. You can change during the day. You know, we never know. Depression, obviously, isolating from people, sadness, crying, loss of appetite. It can be the things that you think of when you think of depression. Denial, that is a difficult one because, I mean, I struggle with this because as believers, we know they're somewhere else and we'll see them again. So it's not like they're really gone, but it's also they're not here anymore. And so I mentioned earlier with Baron being in Florida, it was hard because he hadn't been home for 6 months. So I wasn't used to seeing him. So it wasn't until I saw him in that casket that I knew it was real, which I knew it was real, but it just didn't click.
Sure.
And still after that, sometimes I think, oh, he's still here. I'll pick up my phone. We always used to send each other weird, like, funny videos on Facebook. That was our communication, right? Just stupid videos. And but I want people to know that it's okay to feel these things, and it's completely natural to go through these stages. But it's going through them. It's not becoming stuck in them. Mm-hmm. And that's where I can help you. Or your pastor, or somebody that's a friend to you, reaching out for that help that you need during those times.
Well, that's a great point. It's okay to experience them, but not getting stuck in them. And that's why at times in my life throughout the past probably 20 years or so that I go and see a Christian counselor. And you know, I had been for probably 6 to 8 months. I thought, you know, just like your car, you get oil change every 3,000 miles. I think I'm going to go and get just kind of a check-in and, you know, maybe share some things that have been going on, that maybe see how I'm processing them. And that's one of the things I think sometimes if we don't do those type of things, then anger does evolve.
Exactly. Preventative maintenance. A lot of times we don't fix something until it's broken. and then it's that much harder. But if we do things to kind of prepare ourselves in the meantime, like if we fixed, if we serviced our mower in the winter, or, you know, those different things, we wouldn't have as much trouble. But we wait until something breaks, because why fix it if it's not broken, you know?
That's a great point. A friend of mine took their mower in, the blade sharpened really bad, and they said, oh, after 4 or 5 days. Well, of course, everybody was bringing their mower a few weeks ago, and because of summer and the rain and all that, and wound up like 2 weeks before they got it back. So that's a great example.
Yeah,
if, you know, if you deal with things, or their heating air people always say, hey, let's get a spring maintenance and fall maintenance before it gets, you know, 10 below or before it's 95 degrees. So that's good. I like that about maintenance. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, you said this a little bit earlier, I think, in this program, second program we did, but everybody grieves differently. And so sometimes as a friend, when we're trying to help somebody, they may not grieve the way we do, and we've got to allow them to grieve the way they do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. One thing I will tell you, please never say to someone, well, I know what you're going through, because you don't. You don't. Everybody's, and that's so hard to hear. I mean, I know a lot of people say it with a good heart and good intentions, but you could say, well, when my mother passed, I knew I felt this way about it. Tell me how you're feeling. Ask them what happened. Ask them how they're feeling. Try not to say, well, things will get better. You'll be fine. You know, downplay the emotions. Well, you have to be strong for your kids, you know. There's a time and a place for everything. And yeah, you need to show them it's okay to feel that way. A lot of times, not negative, but emotions that are uncomfortable, society likes to bury. Well, okay, so you feel depressed. That's like, it's shameful. And it's not at all, because we all go through it.
Well, you've got to allow yourself to do that. And, you know, you brought up a point earlier. You said when people, and they mean well, and they say, well, they're in a better place from the death of a loved one. And I admit, when that happened with my dad about 3.5 years ago, that this person, I knew they loved me and they meant well, and they said that, and I just looked at him, because we had a great, open, honest relationship. I just said, I know that, and I really appreciate that, but right now that's not helping me, because it had been like a month after he had passed away. And I just said, because, you know, I'm not going to be able to call him to talk about a UK ball game and get advice from him in life, get wisdom, share funny stories with him. But as time got better, and now, you know, I'm fine with that, because I do realize that. And so, you know, I've been able to help friends, other friends that say, you know, they're losing their dad or mom, and to say, oh, I just don't know if I'm going to get through this. And I said, you know, it is rough. The first year it is. The first Thanksgiving, the first Christmas, all that stuff, just like with Baron. Mm-hmm. But it does get better.
It does. And it's you learn to deal with it better. And you learn to accept, this is what it is. And I'm going to choose, you know, to remember them in a good way. I'm going to choose to live my life happy and be. Satan, so many times when we go through hard times, he wants us to not be effective for God. You know, we're already won. God's already got us. Many times he's like, well, God's already got them. I'm going to make them ineffective so they're not helping others. And that's why, you know, we feel all these terrible emotions a lot of times, is because Satan wants us to be ineffective for God. And we have to remember, this is a battle. There's a spiritual battle going on. We don't even realize the forces that are going on and what's happening. And we have to stay strong in our faith and believe, hey, God got me here. He's going to get me through this.
Talk a little bit about the bargaining stage.
Bargaining. Oh, okay. I mean, I used to work at a Suboxone clinic in Ashland after Baron passed. I felt a calling on my life to go there and work with people in recovery. And it was amazing. It really changed my heart. But, you know, one of the things, we were talking about grief and loss in group one day, and one of them was like, yeah, it's kind of like when you go to jail and you're in there and you're like, God, please get me out. I'll do anything. I'll never do it again, you know. And they laugh because they're like, as soon as you get out, you do the same thing. But in that moment of desperation, you say those things. It's along those lines, too. And also the regrets, looking at the regrets. Well, if I could have done this, I should have done that. The bargaining type things in your head. Well, what would have made this different? What could I have done?
Yeah. But could have got a, you know, a second medical opinion or something if you have a loved one that dies because of, you know, a medical illness and things.
Well, I'm a therapist, and my brother was addicted, and I should have been able to help him, but there comes back that should word. It just wasn't supposed to happen that way. And I can look back and use that as regret and hold on to that, or say, hey, well, I didn't use it then, but I'm going to use it to help other people now.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point, because a lot of times guilt accompanies barking.
Yes, that word, guilt. Oh, my gosh. We have so many regrets for things. And, you know, I asked my friend one time. He struggles with addiction. He said, I feel like I've wasted so much of my life. And I said, do you believe things happen for a reason? He said, yeah. And I said, well, then that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Looking back, if you're driving and constantly looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to wreck. You're not going to get where you're going. And it's the same thing in life. If we're constantly looking back at our past and, oh, I should have done this. What if this would have happened? You know, all that will drive you crazy, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
We can't help the thoughts that come in our head. We can't help thinking back on those regrets, but what we do with them. Do we sit there and dwell on them and allow them to overtake us? Or do we say, hey, no, I can't do anything about that. This is what it is right now. How am I going to deal with this?
Well, I've said this often on this program, but what you're saying, it just ties in so well with it. I've found in doing ministry for the past 16 years that people are harder on themselves than God is.
Oh, yes.
And have you found that?
Oh, yes. And for a long time, I used to think that God wanted to, like, punish me, you know. It wasn't until my dad was preaching one time, and he said, the Holy Spirit is there as, like, an encourager. It's not to condemn you. It's saying, hey, you're better than this. You got this. Come on, let's go. And so, yeah, I agree with you with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, with that part, with them being hard on themselves, then I think that people have such a hard time forgiving themselves.
Yes. We touched on that when I worked in Ashland at that clinic. That was a big thing in group. They said, you know, I can forgive other people. I just can't forgive myself. Mm. But we hold ourselves to such unrealistic standards sometimes. Like, we're supposed to be superhuman, or we're supposed to have all the answers.
Be perfect, right?
Oh, yes, like me.
Yes.
No, I mean, that's how we go around sometimes. We think we have to put on this show or act a certain way or behave a certain way, especially as Christians. You know, we want people to see us happy. But, I mean, sometimes we have to show that real raw side to kind of reach, because not everybody's in the same place we are.
Mm. And I think it gets back to that compare thing, you know, when we're like, well, I'm not where they are, so I best not be moving forward. But yet, everybody's life, everybody, I hate to say race, because that sounds like we're in a hurry, but everybody, it's different from how they grieve.
Yes, exactly. And there's no time period. You have to really look at it as individual and, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. Try not to think of, well, I should be over this by now. I should be able to deal with this. Well, look at what's the reason I'm not able to deal with this more effectively. Do I need to get help? Do I need to reevaluate some things in my life?
Yeah. Well, time flies when you're having fun, and I know this is not a fun topic, but I really make it fun because we want people to know there is hope, and counseling
yes.
is a big, big part of that, I believe, with all my heart, good Christian counseling. And Amanda Speak has been our guest this week, and I want to encourage you, man, if you're struggling with something, I talk about my acronym of HOPE, H, hold on. O, open up to somebody, which could be a close friend or a counselor. But the P is put yourself in a new environment. And maybe that is seeing a Christian counselor to get a new environment, somebody to help you process a grief and loss in your life. So you can find out more information about Christian counseling and grief counseling with Amanda. Go to her website, griefrecoverycare.com. That's griefrecoverycare.com. Or you can call her at 859-595-0836. That's 595-0836. Amanda Speaks with Grief Recovery Care. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
To go to the next level, you have to change the way that you think. There is way more inside of you than you can imagine.
Everyone has influence. Come to the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th and learn skills to help you lead transformation. The summit features high-impact leaders like Craig Groeschel, Angela Ahrens, T.D. Jakes, and more. Experience the Global Leadership Summit on August 9th and 10th. Register today at willowcreek.com/summit or call 800-570-9812 and use the priority code RADIO.
Local host site in Central Kentucky is Lex City Church. Check them out online at lexcity.church.